Welcome to the Delling Pod with me, James Delling Pod. And I know I always say I'm excited about this week's special guest, but look who I've got sitting right next to me. It is the market sniper, Francis Hunt. Francis, welcome to the Delling Pod for the second time. I'm a bit worried meeting you in the flesh. You're wearing glasses, which are a bit like the glasses that Bono might wear.
Oh, yes. No, that's not a positive association in my books. Actually, for those that like a little bit of a deep dive, look up Paul Hewson and Family Lineage. But that's a separate one. Yeah, they matched the camo scene. I see you've actually in sympathy for me here. We're already in deep prepper kits here. We know we should be hiding behind the bushes in this lovely countryside outside of Delling Pod Mansions.
I think we could be the Sulu Scouts or something like that.
Exactly. Well, great to thank you for having me back on. And I'm delighted to be here with you personally as well.
So I gather you've got lots of good news that it's all going to be fine, and that the global markets and the financial system aren't going to collapse, and it was all a big mistake.
Is that right? Satan's been put back in his little box, and he promises to be good now. Unfortunately, no, James. So one of the things I note, and I'm loving your material, by the way, and everyone should absolutely be sharing your stuff and building your following. One of the things we often seem to get out of folks is, you know, when's it happening? And, you know, when's the domino dropping and at what point? As if they're postponing taking action until some form of critical event. Yeah. And this is as if it's kind of the great financial crisis was like, oh, it was Lehman's. No, it wasn't. The entire buildup and the buildup of the toxicity and everything that slowly fell, then it was Bear Stearns, then it was hedge funds, and then it was Lehman's. There's no single straw that actually breaks a camel's back. It's the whole process of overloading the camel till the point that it just becomes a technical detail as to which element is in it. So to those people that are thinking, oh, I'm going to take some action at some point, I'm here to say it's slow motion car crash and it's already happening. You know, the brakes have failed, the car is skidding, there's another one coming into the intersection. You're now observing dispassionately a critical event that's going to be economic case history.
Yeah.
And you cover so much on the vaccines and, you know, the events of March 2020. But I've also got the financial angle with our three brands, the Market Sniper, the Crypto Sniper, and the Reset Sniper. I can tell you that on the financial and economic side, we are definitely in the process of killing the old mule, which is part of their plan to shimmy everybody off the old system. You're changing railway track. You're going from this old rickety railway track into this shiny new, you know, streamlining Japanese train.
It's Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer, absolutely. Something like that. And one of the ways that people are inert, as I was describing, and they don't tend to move. So you've had crypto come about, and some people that think it's libertarian, that think there is this Santa Claus Satoshi Nakamoto, and that they never had any hand in that element. They've captured those libertarians and they've become believers. And belief is a real problem generally, because you can't rationalize people out of things that they've just elected to believe in. But anyway, let's just go with that. That's already begun the training process. So that's the carrot. Oh, chase this pumpermental game that's been selling off terribly recently. But, you know, it was a big make money for the rich. Be early into this game. But there's also a stick. And the stick is those that never responded to crypto and stayed in the financial system are going to get flattened. So this is a UBI Bolshevik communism that they want to bring down on all of us. And how do they flatten it? They've got to bring down the old system. And it's a debt-based system. And the key movements, James, that your guys will be shocked to see is the debt markets are currently the story. If you have got any elements of financial in, the debt markets are the story. And I'm monologuing a bit long, so jump in. But the key thing that people need to understand is that when a money system is birthed, we all start disagree a money system and there's going to be 10 million Delling Pods currency. They get borrowed into existence in the current usury contract. So that means certain people will be issued some of that depending on their work or their effort or their standing, but there's a contract with it. It's an asset and a liability. Think the T accounts that you had at accountancy. So when you get cash and you buy a house, you are the bank's assets and they are your liability. If that gets hyper pumped, and because there's interest, you have to borrow more money into existence, because how does someone pay 10% on the 10 million? If the whole community owes 10% on that at their year end, you need more of the money. So financial systems which have usury in them are naturally expansionary. They have to keep expanding and creating money. So
like a Ponzi scheme.
It is in essence exactly that.
Yeah.
And But it's a very sophisticated and cunning one. The central bankers, their actual policy is inflation, the increasing of it. But they pretend a little bit of inflation is very good for it, but we never want deflation, you know, this sort of thing. What they're actually meaning is we want to do controlled expansionary money system. We know how to build wealth on that. And people say, well, there was during the Yellen years and the you know, Yellen's famous quote, oh, the one thing I wish I could have done more, I should have had more inflation. We ran inflation too low. It's like, well, you know, how could you possibly say that? And the key element is that they all run inflation and they all expand. And it shows first in assets. So we have a hypervalued, the NASDAQ tech stock, which has been correcting, and you've heard, oh, it's all so bad and all of that. It's only just taken out the previous high of percentage NASDAQ valuation to the market cap of the whole stock market, basically, to GDP. The previous high was dot-com boom, and it was around 189%. So during the COVID events, the amount of money, that 7 trillion, all created inflation, but it wasn't at the milk and bread counter. It was the asset inflation. So you had a huge blow off in stocks. And of course, buy the damn dip is a meme, not an investing strategy, but it's been a 40-year meme on both bonds and stocks. And you've had a continued proliferation channel of lowering interest rates. We'll show you on a chart in a second. We know people aren't chartists, they aren't financial, but just a single image and you can visualize it. As you keep extending more money and you're proliferating this expanding universe, you have to drop interest rates, because there's more and more money that has to be. So we're always in a descending interest rate channel. That doesn't mean you don't get tightenings within that, a rally and a dip, but you make new lows and lower highs. So this is like Dow theory. So you're in a channel. So you have economic cycles within cycles. So this whole channel is descending interest rates. They can't actually ever seriously maintain negative for an extended period, because people just won't hold that. You just buy a bar of gold. As long as there's physical things that don't charge rent to be held and hold their value, don't rust and will still be there, why would you keep buying a bond? So we've got this extended interest rate cycle that is going down, and that just makes assets prices go up. And commodities are the last thing that you normally get the inflation in, and that's what we've now recently seen. So we've had house price inflations, we've had assets, other assets, equities, and all of that. And this is all evidence of a proliferate central banking game. And so let me give you a chance, because that's a lot to unpack in there.
No, I suppose lots of people will be thinking, well, we seem to have got by fine in the past by printing money and having this sort of managed inflation. And why should it be any different now? You know, what's to stop house prices going up forever and the markets going up forever?
Because they are too short of cycle. Every fiat system fails. And the fact that we've run from Bretton Woods till today is an example of that. Bretton Woods itself was a major war, and the key problem that goes with the resets and resetting of financial systems is there are often lots of blow-off expenditure events for which war is common. We need to think about that, as we have Kaliningrad, the little island of Russia, and Estonia and Lithuania preventing Russian trains getting there. A little bit of geopolitics for another day.
No,
maybe.
I'm worried about that too.
Yeah,
I think that is that's clearly the plan.
Provoke the bear.
That Lithuania, by blocking the Russian rail route into Kaliningrad, is clearly trying to provoke conflict.
Oh, absolutely.
And Poland is seems to be hot for war as well. They're doing the Biden, well, the deep state's bidding. I get that. I suppose the only question is, can they brainwash the public into accepting this line that we need to go to
war? So I don't know if you remember the Iraq war in Iraq, and then they took the babies out the incubators.
Yes.
You need that final highly emotive, oh my God, these people are just plain evil, to do the public sentiment swing. Yeah. So you're setting up for a fight. Me and you are in the pub and I'm pushing my chest out and saying you're an ugly bastard, and you're saying you've got a funny hairstyle, and we are shaping up for a fight, and then you just need somebody to give both of us a push in the back that we bump into each other, and then the fists start throwing. So that is what I call the triggering event, and I use the Iraq babies, completely fragment fake event, if you recall. So what they will potentially do is, and don't forget, you've had the World Economic Forum suggest this, a perfect setup would be hacking of all the Western banks, where they all come on, and in the same way they all went, Osama bin Laden, another, oh, CIA, they'll go, Russian hack, every channel, repeat. It is quite clear evidence this was a Russian-controlled And yeah. then everybody's bank balances get zero. So now you can't buy anything. And the point is all at Russia. I've just come to the UK for the first time. I'm astounded by the number of Ukrainian flags. Most people wouldn't have known where it was on the planet at one point. And every British Jubilee flag now has a Ukrainian flag on it. And it's almost like patriotism, and it's been tied into the LGBT. I'm looking at pride, transgender and Ukrainian flags. And I'm looking at, you know, I think that's, you're drinking the same cup of sick.
And
right
who printed these Ukrainian flags? It wasn't like there were, it's not like there were lots of flag factories all over Britain doing Burundi and Cameroon,
just Rwanda.
Rwanda. They all appeared out of nowhere.
It's unbelievable. They just seem to be, there's this amazing, you know, you've got supply chain problems, but when it comes to something like that, it's like click a finger and it's just there.
We should go long Ukrainian flags.
I think you should go short, because a lot of them are going to be going in the bins.
Yeah, that's true.
You've missed the pump.
I've missed the pump. Yeah. Okay. So, by the way, you're right. I wish I'd been sort of thinking about this earlier. One doesn't, because these things move in cycles, and you get these lulls, and you think, well, things aren't so bad. I needn't look at my ISA shares just yet. And I see that my Fidelity thing is down 16%, and not least because there are some Japanese shares have been really good for the last, well, since forever, haven't they? Money Week, because
they've
always had nice things to say about them. But now Japan is, you're saying Asia generally is not a good bet.
Yeah, well, so nowhere is a good bet is what I'm truly saying, because we're actually having hyperinflated assets. Most things are down. So most things are, we're back in big short territory for fans of the movie, on the basis that the way you prod, you have the carrots, as I mentioned, chase the pumpamentals, get into cryptos, which is, to me, a gateway drug for central bank digital tokens. So a lot of people are already aware. There'll be someone in the family that's done cryptos, will teach grandma how to get her CBDCs when they come. And that's the carrot. The stick is when we just take your money away out of your bank, or banks are non-viable. So essentially banks were intermediaries. The central bank never created the money. They gave a license to commercial banks that gave a loan, and they out of nowhere made that money. It wasn't somebody else's savings that was just being reallocated. This is out of nowhere that this has happened. And what we're actually looking at, and I'm going to take a step back, and I want to deal with the Japanese element you brought in, because it's a very, very good question. But just on debt, this is the debt markets. And I want to show you, and what are you looking at? You're looking at a 10-year yield. It's important that people have a little understanding. I'm going to remove some of these lines that I've drawn. Those other orange lines are just alerts to let me know when things happen. The Faulkner era. That was Paul Faulkner. That was the Fed, the last semi-serious Fed. Nobody's friend, I would add. No one in the Fed is your friend. But he upped rates to contain inflation. And that's when you got levels much like what we're seeing now. My apologies, back then in the 80s, which was a huge period for gold and silver. We're going to come back to that, James. Remind me. We'll put a little marker on that. But that was Faulkner upping the rates. Since the Faulkner 80s, the early 80s, late 70s, don't forget Nixon detethered in 71 the relationship to gold because of the Vietnam War, mentioning war again, with the destabilization of financial systems, how it goes hand in hand. New system, we're going to do a float on a faith-based, in other words, there isn't gold. Everyone was asking for their gold. They were printing too many dollars, the Americans. What happened? They then said, okay, we're closing the gold window. It's just a faith-based system. Then that led to hyperinflation, because obviously they were printing too many dollars, and now they no longer had to have the gold to print those new dollars. So then you had the effects of that going into the 80s, the late 70s into the 80s. Then since that period, we have gone down, down, down on interest rates, which dovetails with the proliferation of debt. The more you create, the less affordable it becomes. Now, you see what I just did there? I changed this from a normal scale to a log scale, so you can see the percentage change. Now, for people that aren't interested in charts, I'm going to keep it brief, but it's very important to understand one key thing in technical analysis, which is the study of charts. Big trends end with a final capitulation. And that applied to the dot-com boom, the major blow-off, when everyone said, I have to be in. I'm so sick of hearing about my mate who bought pets.com and he's made 300 times and got a new car. I want a new car too. I'll buy pets.com too, or boo.com or whatever. And you get the price no object charge of the dumb money.
Yeah.
And in the same way, when bear trends end, there's a final capitulation. People that were holding just say, damn it, this is just ruining my life. Every day I wake up, I get bad news. I'm not holding it anymore. Get me out. Shit, damn, buggery, I'm out. And that is a final capitulation. That's what happened on the yields. So don't forget, yields down, the value of the debt is perceived high. As the debt starts coming down in value, you have to pay a higher yield for people to still want to hold it.
Yeah.
So you have the capital appreciation and the income. And what's actually happened here is we had supreme valuation of debt. But hold on, we run a debt system and we've never had more liquidity created. They created $7 trillion, as you know, America, not just for America, but globally. How come something that has such abundant supply has such a high value?
Yeah.
Well, it's only because it's rigged that way. They've made it affordable for people to have debt because they've made it a totally stimulatory level of rates. This was hyper-stimulatory level of rates. All the sub 3% that all came from 2011, this is the great financial crisis period, is super stimulatory level of rates and was all sub the actual inflation that of money creation that was due to that period. So you were all devaluing, and what everyone did is they bought assets because they would go up. So you have a lot of liquidity chasing into assets. So this is why the debt system, this is typical of trend reversal. And we said this very early in 2020, when everyone was going, oh, the world's going to do Japan and just deflation. We said, no, we're going hyperinflation and the debt market has turned. The 40-year bull market in debt is turned. They can't hold it anymore. And we ran the critical 3% on the American debt here. This was a previous high where you were turned back every time because crises kept showing up. Right back to 2008, and now we're running it, and our expectation, just in terms of our prediction, is yes, you maybe have a small pullback because you've done so much, but that long term is up. But the problem you have is you can't go up to the old Faulkner levels because the amount you accumulated on the way down that was cheap and easy to pay, you can't afford anywhere on the way up. So the system breaks before you get anywhere close to reaching the rates over there. So what we're predicting is a George Soros bank Black Wednesday moment for the entire world, where one of the best ways of getting over leveraged people out of their overvalued property prices is a spike in interest rates.
Yes.
And then you collect all the homes. Who's the biggest buyer of property
BlackRock,
right now?
BlackRock.
Vanguard, BlackRock, Blackstone. There's not much I need to teach you on that. You're right in there. So that is how you get all the peasants out of the property. Get the goyim off the land. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. You won't have any responsibilities. We'll lay it on. What it actually means is we'll own all your shit and turn you into a tenant in your own property. So I'll stop with the charts for a second and bring this to Japan, because your question was actually around Japan, and I took you on that sidebar. Japan has 280% to 79% to GDP of debt. They have an inverted pyramid of demographics, 0.91 kids. So that means for the two parents that die, you lose two citizens, and you're not even getting a full citizen in replacement. So that is horrific. They're all on pensionable age, and they all bought and trusted the government and bought the GLAP. They're very compliant, and they bought the Bank of Japan's debt. But now, super debt, now everything is inflationary, and America's upping rates. The problem Japan has is they won't be able to allow their interest rates to go up. They have too much debt. They'll fail on the payment as soon as it even gets to 1% or 2% on a sustained basis. They're currently at 0.2, and they've even been close to negative like the Swiss. So what do they do? They have this technical term. The Fed always says, we have tools. Their only tool is print money and control and manipulate the markets. Those are essentially their tools. You open that toolbox, there's nothing in there. One spanner, and one spanner's got to do everything. And that spanner in that yield cold curve control means we print yen and we keep buying the debt when people are selling it. So we sustain and hold the fake value high. So they're market manipulators. And that brings us back to gold and silver, which is suppressed. It's very DeMartini. If you push down something there, something else pops up. There's got to be balance in the universe. And he's very interesting. We've done some amazing materials with him. But so suppression of gold and silver leads to hyper, the game for them is to hypervalue and extend the debt-based system that they've created until they're all ready. Everybody is on the verge to all fall down again. Ring a ring of roses, a pocket full of posies. All our economies are lepers in a leper colony. To enter, you have to kiss the leper queen. And in you come and you've got the leprosy and you all fall down together when the chief cheerleader says, ring a ring of roses. And that's the great game of the financial system. So Japan is already well baked and ready and having to cheat just to maintain. So if you keep printing yen to keep buying up this, you're killing your currency then. So the currency is the release valve for manipulation in the market. Because you've got to, if you want to buy your own debt, they monetize everything. They've even bought the stock market, everything. Soon the government will own everything on money they've printed, but the yen will be now worthless. So they are contracting immensely. Asset values down, stock market down, bond, which is the debt market, wants to go down, but is being held up by government, and therefore the currency is spilling. So we called for trades. So we actually trade and invest in reset to build wealth to accumulate physical assets. If they want to drive you digital, you've got to get physical. Let me let you unpack that a bit, because that's quite a lot.
No, well, I get the principle. So what you're saying, among other things, is make your money in crypto, but then get it out and put it into real assets.
Yeah.
So physical gold, physical silver. Property, I'm thought, is not a good buy at the moment.
So property generally long run as something that can't be printed is. The problem is anything that has financial engineering in it is how they will may turn you into a forced seller at the bottom. If you outright own your own property and land, the only way they make it impossible for you to stay on it is if they raise taxation to inordinate levels. That is still something I wouldn't put past them, but it will take a while. It won't happen as part of this reset process that I actually think we're in the year and the following year of this happening. So we are going to go in Northern Hemisphere winter, all the usual nonsense is going to start, and then it's going to be, I think, an escalation. Further, as we've already discussed, the deglobalization Ukraine-Russia scenario, and I think a hack of the balances and blame good old Russia that did it. We've got our boogeyman's all sorted out, who's good guys and bad guys. It's very simple. There's no shades of gray, you know, it's black or white. And I think people need to understand that it's busy happening right now, and the debt markets have turned. And the problem with the debt market devaluing is your pension is going to be worth garbage, because unless you own a SIP, you're stuffed with it. Pension funds particularly were forced buyers. You should get a SIP if you're in the UK. Your big UK audience, guys should get self-invested, and they should get miners, metals, and physical things. Going back to the property, if you don't have debt on it, you'll be fine. If you do have debt, try secure at least the longest term fixed rate, and the rate will be higher, but the value that will give you is that it'll at least give you a contract. Remember, they will renege on contracts too. It's not perfect, but it'll at least give you some contractual limits to how much they can raise the interest rates until they fold. And I think this, most of the commercial banking is going to be surrendered. Banks are preparing for death, the commercial banking sector, and the relationship will be direct to the central bank in future. That's the decentralizing we're getting. The intermediation of commercial banks will go, and they'll sacrifice them. That's their junior management, you know, levels of their hierarchical control, and they'll go straight to source. And we'll all end up with a wallet, and you'll get real-time taxation, you'll have social score, medical records, all of this chip ready to go for the center of your forehead or your hand with your latest mini boosters and your happy pharma pills, because you own nothing nowadays, all of that.
So you mean that all the, for example, in the UK, the high street banks, so Barclays, HSBC, Lloyds, they're all going to go under?
My best guess, so first of all, I don't know the future. My best guess, so everything I do is scenario cast futurism. On balance of probabilities, they are superfluous to requirements. Right. Much the same way they will view 9 or 8 or 9 or 7 billion people on the planet as superfluous to the requirements now that they have automation, robotics at a very advanced level.
Okay, so how have they squared this with all the bright sort of people who've got top degrees from university and are really clever who are running
They
the
tend
banks?
To be more on the investment banking side. So remember, I'm specifically referring to the everyday retail banking, a savings account, a checking account, and having a branch and all of this. That is going to be in the digitalized world, which they're pushing us into, almost superfluous. And that property will be released, and who knows, we might have nice little high density AirPods in urban areas to live in that will come up in their place. So there's going to be a lot of repurposing of commercial real estate into resi in urban areas as well, because they want to cluster us into high density urban areas. It's easier for control. And it also separates you from the supply chain. Farmers, fruit, veg, and markets, etc. And there is this distancing us from what is a natural gift given to us by planet Earth, soil, and growth. So if they want to push you urban, you should go rural. If they want to push you digital, you need to build wealth and physical. And you must just keep the financial engineers out of your life as much as possible. So I have no debt instruments. I owe nobody anything. And I acquire assets that I own outright and ideally physical. Okay. I trade and invest in the digital game to build wealth.
Yes.
And we've made a ton shorting crypto recently. To go straight into physical assets. Silver, gold bullion, special vaulting, hold some on self. Do not use banks. We have specific relationships with people that we consider very high. They have zombie apocalypse plans. People can go to themarketsniper.com if they want to chat about that. But make sure that if you lost all your digits in an electronic bank account under the ruse of a hack, that is not all you have. You should have physical cash, gold, silver on you at home, and also in high volume elsewhere.
So I've noticed, and I'm sure everyone else has noticed, how even in the space of this year, how much harder it has become just to buy things routinely using my bank. The checks, every time, it's almost like every month, there's a new layer of complexity to, you know, I bought something from my bank, this morning, and I had to go to the app on my phone. Whereas, yeah, before, I didn't have to do that. Now, obviously, the same thing is happening with air travel, for example. They're blaming staff shortages and the baggage handlers and
pushing. And the people they poisoned, that no longer can
work. Well, then they're sort of not mentioning that. But even that's a trap for people on our side of the argument. They're saying, yeah, well, all the pilots are dying of back injuries,
sudden deaths.
But we know the real reason behind this is that they are deliberately screwing everything up. They're making it hard to use a bank. So anyway,
they're trying to break the system, and they're going to break it financially as well. They don't try to break it from a supply chain and a product level, but not try to break it. They're attacking on all fronts.
So the question is, look, most of us just can't get our head around the idea of stacking up silver coins and you know, how much cash can you reasonably have at home? But at the same time, we're aware that our bank accounts are going to be
never been more threatened, in my view.
Never, yeah. So, I mean, is that it? We just have to have silver.
The point is that this is the difficult part. You truly have to get to a point where you can see the direction that this is going, that you take action and you substitute one sense of comfort and discomfort for a different set of comfort and discomfort. You do feel differently about whether you've locked the house properly. If you have a couple of gold bars under the floorboards and silver coins under the tube, you feel more vulnerable to a robbery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But actually what's happening is you are reestablishing your own personal sovereignty and you are taking control back. And you're taking control back from a system that said, never mind, we'll do this for you. We'll look after you. Yeah. What interest have you been paid purely, truly in this bank? What is the inflation rate you've faced, truly? Well, you're at 9% in the UK. By the way, the producer price inflation in Europe a month ago came in at 37.2. So just let me clarify what that means. Producer price inflation is the factories that are making things, all their inputs coming in.
Yeah.
How much did that increase in cost? 37% in Europe. Well, that's part of the currency devaluing against the dollar, but it's also part of proliferation generally of all fiats. So what's actually happening is it's not the commodities going up in price, it's the fiat proliferation finally being exposed.
Fine. Yeah, okay. So I get that. So are we going to get sort of wheelbarrows of cash to go to the grocery store?
Well, the interesting part about that is many people might ask, well, why are you telling me to hold cash at home if you're at the same time telling me how much inflation there is? The inflation is already now in the system.
Yeah.
And those numbers you're seeing is since last year. What they're currently doing is they're creating a countervailing deflationary event that is going to attempt to rein in inflation back in. And the way they do it is they kill asset valuations. How do they do that? Well, they killed all the SMEs during COVID. People stopped buying. We predicted the single digit run on oil. It's important to remind people that when it was 67 and you hadn't traded in three decades because we had the charts and technically. What did they do? Well, they just killed movement, freedom of movement. You stopped flying, you stopped driving, you were locked down, you didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And they killed SMEs. So you created such a huge dearth in demand that you did actually kill the cost
I'm
of oil.
With you. I find with complicated stuff like this, it takes several times before it gets through to your head. So I'm beginning to understand it now, that the purpose of the global lockdown over a period of 2 years was to counter the hyperinflation that was already baked into the system.
Correct. They released $7 trillion.
And to buy them more time to hide there.
And also to flush you out. There were a lot of forced sellers, a lot of people that exited businesses, and they were mainly the independent. So who do they hate most? They love it if you're an employee in a government sector. They control you completely. They can take their tax whenever they want. Self-employed people are a pain in the ass, because they don't control you quite as much. You make your own money, you write your own check. Best way is to kill the buggers. And how do you do that? You take their clients away and you don't allow them to go to work. Well, that's a very effective way of destroying SMEs. Yeah, how many restaurants on the high street have gone under?
And pubs?
Pubs and many other places. And the other value that they do is, say they're still there and you go, yeah, but they're still there. I go to my high street. I just went through, St. Albans. It's actually quite a nice high street again. The Poundland's gone. The empty shops are gone. There's a few things back in. It's, it's middle upper class. And they'll say, no, those restaurants are still there. Well, they got a huge overdraft now. And now they're not owned by the owner. They're owned by the bank. So even that, which is still functioning, have took hits. So any juice or extra fat that they had has now been absorbed. Okay. And they're just functioning post these events. So these events thin everybody else's resources out immensely. And they're much closer to the bone if they're still operating.
So now you've got everyone completely shitting themselves. And they're listening to this thinking, I didn't listen to the last year, or I meant to, but I put it off. Is it too late? What can we do now?
So first of all, as you correctly said, it's not a positive message. And I don't believe in positivity for positivity's sake, but neither do I believe in just blackpilling everyone into misery and dystopia. So there is real positive things you can do. Mental health is a challenge in these times. You've got to build wealth. That makes you straight away feel like you're adding value. We specialize in that. They can go talk more on the Market Sniper about that, but there's real trading opportunities. It's a scandal that the speculators and investors are going to make money who understand the game more than an honest, hardworking nurse, an engineer, and anyone else. But that's the society you've created. And I say you, the people in the know, that's the game that they've created. That's how you steal everybody else's chips. You understand the larger rules and you make everyone honest workers in a dishonest system. So by recognizing, you have to understand the fullness of the problem. That's why I go into this detail and it sounds a bit blackpill. But once you understand that, deal with it mentally, exercise, walk your dog, love your dog, by the way, and your very sociable cat. Get in the countryside, get sun. It's a beautiful British summer, except of course it has to rain today that we were going to sit outside and record, and then take action on your wealth. Being paralyzed in the headlights is what a lot of people have done, because it's all too complex and it's all too big and they don't understand it. Seek help and move. You only get hit if you stay frozen in the road as the 4x4 is coming in the headlights. What you actually got to do is jump and take action and hustle. And actually, there is a polarizing. We did a YouTube in 2017 on Blackheath. Go and check it out. About it's a wealth polarizing event. It's through intent. You can be on the top side of the cut if you understand the game and you position accordingly, in spite of their intentions. Because if you do what they've done, they can't make a law that specifically punishes you, but that has protected them. Tony Blair has foundations. Hillary Clinton has foundations. They all have foundations. They know how to protect their wealth. They are transgenerational. We're hearing about Ewan Baer and his Metaverse 3.0 and becoming a billionaire. It doesn't surprise me. He's right under the Klaus Schwab bloodline of a lot of them. So the game is understand what they do and do what they do without becoming them. And that requires action. We've set up foundations for guys. We've stacking gold and silver. Physical things can't be taken off for you unless they send a guy with a gun and they know you own it. Well, make it opaque that you own it. Make it in a different geography. Apply the laws of five flags, because people are same passport, same country, same bank, everything. Well, they've got you, guy. It's time you did some arbitrage on your personal banks in other countries, and you'll say, well, they might hack everyone. Yes, they will to a degree, but have your precious metals stored in a different country under a different entity. All of these things are techniques. We had a community member that 10x'd his 10 grand account on the USD JPY trade without blowing too much his risk management. He didn't take excessive a risk. Now that's a bit extreme, but you know, we manage stocks really tight. This was on the USD JPY that we're talking. The currency has to go down, and it's not yet done, by the way.
So on currency, can't they just blow the stops? Wasn't there a case once where they just complete with the Swiss franc, where they completely
and we've actually called for another euro Swiss franc collapse, but initially it's starting in Asia. So we're watching the Korean won, the yen, the Hong Kong dollar. Pegs will fail in this process. There's many country pegs actually. For example, the Saudi rial is pegged to the dollar. There's quite a few pegs. The problem is currencies are the release valve. If you are faking your debt system and trying to support it in one way, then it shows up somewhere else and the currency devalues because people can see what you're doing. So the truth always comes out, even in markets. And when the euro tried to hold the 1.2 that you were referring to, and we are actually on Tips TV and said that will collapse, you had brokers going bust because they allowed clients to buy at the 120 and it always bounced a little bit. It was free money because they had a wall at their back. And suddenly the Swiss National Bank said, this is costing us too much. We're eating too many euro puke pies that are worthless in relative to our own currency. We're walking. And they didn't tell you. And incidentally, by the way, just to tell you how corrupt the system was, Hildebrand, the SNB, who was at the time the head of the SNB, his wife had a Forex account and was trading short the euro against the Swiss franc.
Outrageous. just to clarify on that one point, is it possible to, because I've always been burnt on currencies trading. I can see where you like it because it's volatile and it's exciting and big bucks. But will your stops always be honored? Or are there occasions when they don't honor your stops, in which case I think all bets are off?
Well, first of all, I'm not encouraging everybody who's watching this to become a seat of the pants Forex trader without training. It's very important. And money management is huge, and you could do more damage, and then I'll be the curse of the town instead of someone who's trying to support people. So get training. We're at themarketsniper.com. You can find our mail. Start very small. Lose a burger, make a Coke, you know, that sort of stuff first to develop skills. But on your point, absolutely that happened. What actually happened is FX market gapped. They suddenly realized it traded 119.997 and they realized that the Swiss were no longer buying. And then the market panicked and everybody wanted to sell and nobody bid. And even the main primary dealers, this is that commercial investment banks now that get the license to sell government debt for the Americans, they gave no offer. And they're the market makers. So you had this void, the sinkhole. It's kind of like you're driving on and the rain's been coming and the entire road disappears and falls 60 foot. Essentially no fulfillment. And then you get a very hard bounce much later when someone eventually says, this has fallen so far. I think it's almost value for the euro at that point and is prepared to offer again. And what happened, there was one broker called Saxo that they actually gave people fills technically on a number because they had a stop. But then they never got fulfilled by their liquidity provider.
Yeah.
And then they tried to restate the person's exit much lower where they'd lost their entire account and owed them money.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the clients didn't want to play. They wanted to sue them and they had a case. So that actually will happen. And counterparty risk in trading is going to become more and more the case with an entire financial system. So please understand, this is not a pitch for everyone to become FX traders. What? And the risks are going to get higher. I've been doing this for many, many years, and we do it in a supervised way. We have a community and we have a real method. And even still, there's going to be risks for us. But at the moment, we're winning with the USD JPY. We're winning with the short on crypto. This is an asset contraction environment. And this is a risk off environment. And everybody thought, well, Bitcoin is going to be immune to this. Bitcoin was born into the in 2010, which was QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, which was a reflation and free money. So, of course, it had a very expansionary period because that was post 08, 09, where it was morbid and the medicine they were giving was reinflation.
Yeah.
It's never faced a Black Wednesday like the George Soros breaking of the pound day, which is now something which I caricature as an isolated event for one nation state that is more likely to become a global scenario. In the same way, Cyprus bail-ins was actually just really affecting one island, but is also a potentially globalized microcosm that could be globalized. So we could all be bailed in on banks and own shares in meaningless companies that eventually gets assumed written off.
So just to be clear, bail-in is when the bank, when the government goes into your bank account and takes a cut, gives you a haircut.
Massive. Yeah. They did 47.5% of everything over 100K. They wanted to take it all. That was in Cyprus. And they you then became an owner with a highly proliferated share, like there were billions of shares, and you got bought at a ridiculous price for which it trades significantly well below. And you know, they know everybody's going to want to get out because they don't want, so they offer you next to nothing. You sell those shares back, you don't get a, you know, a couple hundred euro, even if you lost a few thousand.
And on cryptos, I know you've always said, be prepared to lose everything, but have some if you can afford it, because you want to be able to play the obscene potential profits.
So
where are you now on crypto?
Yeah, so we're currently trading, and have been for a while, trading short. However, the next major move of the central banks will be once they've broken something in the financial system. So they go to a liquidity cutting or a liquidity provision. That's the key thing, the arrow. Which are they, pumping money or trying to pretend they're fighting inflation and reducing liquidity? Right now they're doing a liquidity reduction game, upping interest rates, and the automatic buying of QE that they were doing, they've switching it off. They're actually tightening. And that's almost more dangerous, because that is sucking blood out of the body. So you have to think of money as the liquidity, as the blood of a financial system. So now they're vampirically extracting that, and suddenly facilities stop working. Is it the brain that goes first? Is it the heart? Is it the lungs? That's a question I can't answer. But the financial system has all those organs. Something's going to break.
Yeah.
And it's far more sensitive, because now you're an older man with more toxicity in your system. You need more water. You need more blood to be flushing you out. You've been drinking and drugging like an absolute George Best at his prime. So now you're sitting in this situation. So what's going to break now with this older toxic body that is now having all the blood sucked out? You can fight about which part you think. It could be the repo markets, could be the derivative markets, could be the debt super spike. We think we're going to get a debt super spike in interest. That's a perfect way. Everybody can't perform on loans, and you can dispossess. So the game is, how do we dispossess the middle classes? The middle classes are the main enemy. The working poor are useful idiots that can be weaponized against the middle classes. So this is the crabs in the bucket. It's a bit of a, you know, it's BLM. It's all these different strategies, divide and conquer by race, by gender, by sexuality, et cetera, et cetera. So they keep you all crabbing out on each other and stopping each other from escaping. So the middle classes on wealth are a problem. Some of them are quite well resourced and maybe not so indebted. So you've got to take anyone with any debt out the equation. Super spiked interest rates. Dollar has a super spike against the yen. People go, why are you saying dollar going up? It's, you know, it's hyper overvalued. It's the currency of the world for now. And what ends up happening is the Russians and the Chinese are building an alternative system. When the euro came out, many didn't notice the dollar went into a super strength period to show who was boss on the new threat. Many people don't realize it. It is standard policy to show we're still the big guy out of there. You know what happened to Gaddafi when he threatened a gold-backed dinar, et cetera, et cetera. So now these other nations are coming out. They need to, now there's going to be a rival to the dollar. This is the period that they're going to automatically push the dollar. How do you do that? You up interest rates, you kill your consumer. So what does that achieve? The domestic consumer in America exports dollars. So we're buying Toyotas. If you're an American, you're buying Kias from South Korea. You're buying Mercedes and BMWs from Germany. So it's called the Triffin's Dilemma. America has to deficit spend because the world needs dollars. So they send goods and dollars goes the other way.
Yeah.
So when you kill your local consumer, you actually starve the rest of the world of dollars.
Yeah.
So that creates a pump into dollars. So more and more people rush into dollars. This doesn't mean the dollar is a good investment. It's a super spike. Yeah. You create a shortage because it's highly proliferated worldwide. And because it's an usury system where there's debt. Don't forget, Turkish are sitting with huge dollar debt. They need dollars. Well, if they stop Americans from buying Turkish things, you know, they stop going on tourism there. How do they get dollars to meet their debt? They can't pay. This causes all sorts of problems. So you actually, while someone else is setting up a rival system, which is moving apace and will eventually win out, you first act strong, cheap silver back in the troop. I'm still the big alpha male. And so this is what is happening. Tightening kills the debt market, kills the American consumer. They stop buying, their houses contract, their stock market portfolios. America, no one more sensitive to the wealth effect to stock market and property. Possibly Britain on property, but if you combine stock market with it, it's the Americans. So they stop buying. So they stop exporting dollars. So the rest of the world is now buying oil still largely in dollars. Yes, there's some exceptions and it's going to get larger. But in the meantime, short time, we kill the other FX currencies on a dollar spike. And that is how I think the dominoes flow. So you actually want to be dollar long for a period. And that also puts pressure on the things they don't want you to buy, which is gold and silver, the physical. So by putting a strong dollar out there, it reduces the inflation to Americans and exports that inflation to the rest of the world, because the other currencies now look relatively weaker and fall. And that's why I said, when the dollar started the cycle and the debt turned, America will export inflation to their main product. When they stop buying the other people's products, is they export inflation to Europe, to Japan, and to Britain. And that's what's actually happening. So now the dollar's been relatively stronger, dollar price things are expensive for British, Japanese, and Europeans.
Right, and a spiking dollar is bad for gold and silver.
It's a headwind for Bitcoin, gold and silver, all the alternative money systems, and any yuan ruble system that is being launched. They create, hey, but look how much appreciation I'm getting holding the dollar. You know, you're launching this new system. It's kind of new, got a lot to prove. My money's going up just sitting in dollars. And the interest rates that it will earn is going up slightly. I'll swamp there. And generally, the Pavlovian training of the financial system, it happened in the great financial crash, as they call it, the GFC. It was a depression basically brought about by property overvaluation. But generally, what happened there is everyone ran to dollars.
Okay.
Because nobody knows what's going to happen in the currencies. You run to the biggest guy in the room.
Is there going to be a crypto bounce?
So the Fed pivot, well, you asked the question there. The Fed pivot, once they've broken something and everybody is angry and crying foul, I think they're going to hold us in the breakage area a lot longer than normal. So you know the whole problem, reaction, solution. I think it's going to combine supply chain issues, getting access to things. I think the financial system will break and they'll say, there's so many things to fix. We're working night and day and you don't appreciate how hard we are. We're working on a solution, you know, and they'll just prepack an extended period of G8 meetings and IMF meetings and all of this while everyone's struggling and battling and leave you in the lurch, hungry, without unbanked, a whole bunch of other things till you are so desperate, you will accept any solution.
Yeah.
Then when they come with their solution, everybody is out on their feet. Everything they can sell or trade or barter for something meaningless has been bartered, to the bone. Then you will accept whatever they put in front of you. And then that's when the central bank, then they will proliferate again. And then the possibility is once that reset has occurred, and this is, you know, many people call the great, you know, there's going to be a year. This is, in my opinion, the time. I've never said it before. This is the one where they break it, the old system, and introduce the new, in my opinion. Will I be wrong? Quite possibly. So remember, we're talking about the future. I haven't been there yet. I can absolutely be wrong. But this is, they've lined everything up on every major logistical element. This is the play. It's a bit like seeing the troops on the border everywhere along. They're coming to get you. It's war this time.
Yeah.
Occasionally, they try and mess around with you and have a couple of guys go there just to make sure, you know, you're protecting your border, and they test. Now you're seeing the full infantry. The planes have been doing sorties just outside. They're coming for you now. And on every level, to me, the attack vectors are all on the borders sharpening their swords.
Okay. So it sounds to me like they're pretty sorted, the bad guys. I mean, and they've got the option of nuclear war, which they've started with Putin. They've got, most of us are not going to be prepared. Therefore, we are going to be reduced to that position you described, where we're desperate for any solution. And they've got that at the moment. They've still got the levers, even if it's just money printing. So, it's all very well prepping, isn't it, for say 2 or 3 months?
Mm.
But if we're talking years.
Some people think it'll be 2 years. Some people think it'll be 6 months. I can't tell you. The one thing I would say is this is the one point in your life it's worth taking extreme measures of precautionary nature. So for me, the Southern Hemisphere will be safer. Now, not everybody is prepared to take their kids out of school, go do self-schooling and move to, you know, Chile or the South. Yeah. No, I'm not. I just threw that one out. Oh, South Africa, Chile, whatever. I don't like Australia, New Zealand. In fact, I don't like governments in South Africa either.
Have you seen the vax situation in Chile? I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Then I take it fully back. I'm talking about Latin America South, let's say, anywhere, Argentina, whatever the case may be. Not everyone is prepared to do that. I actually think if there's a global war, I've discussed this before, the Southern Hemisphere generally will be a safer, less toxic place. But that's still to unfold. I also think in terms of vaccine policy, there's no easy places that have been very relaxed. Brazil has been relatively relaxed.
Yeah.
So Brazil is worth considering. Potentially, but to many people that's just a third world country. You know, there's great wealth there's lots of very nice affluent areas, you can go there. So I actually think you need to leave your country. I do actually go that far. To those that say, I just won't do that, I don't think you're going to be that accurate. I'll take my chances. Get rural. Be on best mates terms with your local dairy farmer and fruit producer. Go Cornwall, go where it's very hard to do enforcement. So you don't want to be in high density places, urbanized, and away from food chain, direct food chain supply. They may put hold guns to farmers' heads and say, you know, unless your fruit is pre-approved and been scanned, you can't sell it. Go do dirty deals. This is the time not to be law-abiding. If it comes down to your family's ability to secure supply chain on fruits and vegetables from a localized farmer, no matter what rules and regs they have, do dirty deals, pay cash, pay silver coins, do whatever. So get localized to food chain, get away from high density areas, close to also sheep and whatever. Get familiar. It's never a bad idea to know your local policeman. They will be required to do enforcement by state, but a lot of them have families too. Remember, have them retain a wall of sanity. They can't all follow orders and be blind trolls. So be known, but be known as a supportive member of the community, neighborhood watch, couple of things like that. So getting rural, stack silver and gold, hold more than you would on yourself normally. Be bold. No one's going to come rob you. If they come, acquire a hunter's license, have a shotgun. Go to the range.
Good luck with that.
Shoot a few dead, shoot a few clay pigeons, and let it be known. Do some things that increase your personal security. Unfortunately, we've become super comfortable with giving away the elements of controlling your sovereignty to other forces. You've got to go back to barbarism times. You've got to protect yourself and your own family. Assume the police aren't going to come. They generally don't anyway, or they take way too long. Even on violent crimes. So the point is they pick up the pieces afterwards. They don't stop things from happening. And then they fill in the paperwork for insurance claims. That's my take personally. Having lived in Britain, having had, you know, I had a Aprilia superbike stolen, I had carbon bicycle stolen. You couldn't get anyone out for love or money. Whether they're any quicker if someone's breaking in, I don't think so personally. Yeah. So take back control over your own personal security. Be fit and healthy. But I'm a 50-plus male. I'm not going to beat up, you know, three guys in their 20s. But if I have a shotgun, they'll think twice. They'll go to someone else. Have your gold and silver. Have protocols of contact. I would even suggest having short band radio. So get a ham license or citizen band radio is very useful. So what happened in 7/7? Mobile network went down. Internet went down. I was in Ukraine when pre and post the 2014, the original provocation of Russia, when they flipped them, they stopped offering hryvnia at the airport. I used to go buy hryvnia worth pounds and get hryvnia. I thought, that's funny. Now they stopped doing that. They won't do it. And then 6 months, a year later, that happened. It was the money changers, the usual money changer crew, that, and they had the monopoly there and they were giving me a terrible rate, but then they stopped doing it. You couldn't even get it. And then when the trouble happened, what did they do? The maximum amount you could withdraw was, I think, $30 a day on your bank account. People were selling brand new Porsche Cayennes that they'd bought not 6 months ago for about a third of the value. So people will turn disposable long-term assets into cash if they get separated from cash. So the guy with cash will have power.
Yeah.
So have cash, because expect the ATMs to go dark or to go deeply restricted. In other words, you know, try to draw 100 quid and you can't. You can get 20 quid today or 25. Who knows what the number will be? I can only guess. But the difference is, and eventually they'll go dark and say, no, there's no more banking system. We can't sustain that. People will be breaking ATMs. There won't be security to do it. So you'll have a period of lawlessness and social unrest. That's my opinion. And that's part of the problem that will create immense fear. So their game, their biggest product is fear.
Yeah.
And that reduces you. That turns you into deer in the headlights. Don't be put in a state of fear by lack of preparation and recognizing that they're winning. So be, I am a leader. I'm going to take control. I will be one of the guys will be prepped. I will organize with other guys with prepped. And this is my moment. You're born into exceptional times and you were born because you have the character, the strength to deal with it and to be a leader during those times. So recognize that there will be, we will be divided by those that saw the it's an obstacle course. You're going to be made to run this whether you like it or not. You can be the weepy child that has to be dragged by the hair over every obstacle, or you can say, shit guys, let's work together. You get up on the wall, you're fit and strong, you pull the girls up, You help, you push from below, let's get through this. And then your team comes out the other side, and it's a relative event. Nobody's going to enjoy it, but your team comes out the other side and you're a winner. And then you see people blubbing, fighting, turning on each other, crabs in a bucket in all the other teams. And you go, you were a great leader. Thank you. You got us through this. And that's your great opportunity. You are all, everyone watching this, I'm talking to you, not just James here. Stand up, be the goddamn leader, get prepared, start taking action, prepare for the absolute worst of what I'm saying, losing all your money in your bank, make sure you have off-grid money wealth, make sure you get deurbanized, work with other people, communitize up, take sovereignty, which means protecting yourself and your family members. It means security, supply chain, farmers, and everything. Do all those actions. You will have no time to be depressed. And you will see yourself as the leader of the time, and there'll be many people in your funeral in 30, 40 years' time singing your praises that you were the man who stood up in dark times. That's my message.
That's the perfect ending. Well done, Francis. So tell the listeners and viewers that don't know already where they can find you, what to do.
We're very focused on this. We think you are a person of the time you want into. And our mantra. The Market Sniper, that is our mentor. So themarketsniper.com, you can learn skills, how to build wealth in what we consider to be reset times. We've had an unbelievable period in a crypto bear market, in a bond bear market, and support at the Market Sniper if you want to talk more about foundations, reset structuring. James, thanks very much for having me.
Great. Thanks, Francis. And just a reminder, I really appreciate your support on Patreon, Subscribestar, on Substack, and on Locals. Thank you.
One of the key things to do is to support people that are trying to bring you great guests and information. I'm on, James, and I'd certainly back him 100%. Thanks for being a leader, by the way.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm a leader.
You are indeed, my friend. You are indeed.
Great.
Till next time, guys.
Bye.